The Money Show.
Make Money Mondays.
Make Money Mondays, where we invite famous people to come and talk to us about money. And it's a discussion that has been sparked by years of really just wanting to talk to cool people and CEOs of wonderful people and financial directors too. Brilliant people, entrepreneurs, obviously rock stars, brilliant people. But currently, it's nice to talk to a real rock star. This one is called Jeremy Loops. He is a singer, a songwriter, whose grandmother introduced him to The Money Show. Your grandmother did you a good favor there, Jeremy Loops. How are you this evening?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Extremely well. Now, listen, what have you been up to? You've been in a world where you guys gig and you work hard and you're out late at night and you surf all day, what have you been up to? Because you're not able to work and not able to surf, so you've kind of been keeping yourself occupied in other ways, I believe.
For sure. Yeah, look, I think we've all had to do, quite a lot of reorganizing about the way we live our lives, who we are, what we do with our time. But yeah, we started a food drive and just to help, I suppose, combat what's becoming a pretty large scale humanitarian crisis.
How did you do it? I mean, you've started the big food drive. Tell me the basis of it and how you raised the money, how you got it together. There's a song. Say it again.
Yeah, I just knew we needed to help, and I needed to ask my community to get involved. You know, I've toured all over the world. It's been a beautiful career, and I've been so grateful to have garnered these audiences in different countries as we've built. And so it just felt like the right time to tell them a little bit about how tough the situation was on the ground and ask for support. And we did it by starting using one of those crowdfunding platforms and loading our thing up there. And I spoke to a bunch of the local farmers. I spoke to a local distribution company. We set up a network because I really wanted to make sure we were supporting the different feeding schemes with fresh produce. That was kind of the idea. So staples like potatoes and carrots, onions, tomatoes. And we managed to kind of get that infrastructure. And then we launched the campaign and just asked people for money, and that we were going to send all the food, the money straight to food at all these different food kitchens. And it came together beautifully. I mean, we raised, I think it's been 750,000 Rand in just under a month.
I mean, it's brilliant, Jeremy. It really is. And again, you haven't tried to reinvent the wheel. You haven't tried to be the superhero who gets the food, chops it all up and makes the soup yourself. You've gone to people who know what they're doing, so you don't have to make the mistakes that they've made already in easier times than now, because now is when all the help is needed and it's good to get experts involved.
Absolutely. I think we've just been bolting onto the existing structures, existing NGOs, and just helping bring whatever extra capacity we can bring to that cause. And it's been humbling to see the sort of support that's flowed in for it. And it's been humbling to see the people working on the ground in this environment now with the regulations in place and just how difficult it is to move and to operate, and to see the heroes actually getting food to people and the lines getting longer outside feeding schemes and soup kitchens. It's not an easy situation on the ground. And being overwhelmed just being a part of it, to be honest.
No, but again, you could sort of sit back and sort of write songs and write your music and think about and dream about the future. Or you could do that and be an active citizen. And I think you've chosen the latter. Have you been creative during this time? A lot of people kind of are quite split on it. Either they're so freaked out that they can't create anything, or this is a time where they are at their very, very best in terms of creativity.
Yeah, it's, to be honest, I've been, my album was, I was basically at the pinnacle of writing my album, being ready to release a new album this year. It all happened at the same time as we went into lockdown. So I've got all these new songs that I've already mostly written, and new ones. I'm busy recording them. I'm doing it all remotely from my home studio with all these producers I'm working with overseas. And every week I log on to an endless melee of Zoom calls and stuff. And I've got a producer in New York that I'm working with, the guy from the Lumineers last week. And we just go back and forth, and you can tap into my, anyways, the point is I'm still, we're finding a way. We're making music in the time of Corona, and I've been releasing songs. I released the first one of my new album just last week called Mortal Man.
I mean, it's really cool. And again, imagine being anybody, you know, any one of us 10 years ago, and how different this lockdown would have been. I mean, without the tech that it is available today and the quality of the ability to transmit audio and to send audio files without any degradation at all, and to be able to communicate back and forth in real time via real good high-speed broadband, makes what you're doing right now possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got broadband just a few months ago, and I was so grateful that it happened, because that's exactly what's allowing us to do this. You know, I literally buy my mic stand in the house. I have a little side table that has an iPad on it, and that's where the producer's face comes up on FaceTime. And then there's a different app that's running on the computer, which links the two computers so that while I'm recording, it's basically arriving on their side. They can hear it in real, not in real time. There's like a little latency, but it's fantastic.
Now, look, it's extraordinary what we're able to achieve. So, I mean, you're not feeling like many musicians are at the moment that, you know, the world has died and has dried up. I mean, comedians are struggling at the moment. Musicians are struggling. We've seen people launch online efforts to get audiences and to get their real diehard fans to pay a couple of bucks to watch them do a dedicated show. And I think it's worked quite well for some of the guys. Have you felt that sort of pressure to do that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think the pinch of this all on the entertainment industry was clear and difficult, and I felt it massively, because we had our biggest tour ever planned for this whole summer. It was a world tour, and it was all booked, and that's the money that basically sees my business through the whole year. And it's the one, you know, we put all of our focus into that. So when that got cancelled, I knew that my life was going to be a very different world for the next while. And I've just chosen to focus on the things I can do, I suppose. So I can record new music right now, and I can put my efforts into purpose-driven pursuits as this all blows over. What I can't do, in my opinion, is fight against it and get caught up in the emotional melee. I think we're all dealing with enough existential dilemmas to have to also put that pressure on myself right now.
I mean, and yeah, sure. I mean, the great disappointment of losing a year's worth of gigs, because that's essentially what's happened to you, is devastating. And you can either curl up and die, or you can shout and scream and rail at the world, or you can adapt. And you strike me as somebody who's been able to adapt very effectively.
I'm definitely adapting. I think it's a learning curve. And I think... whether you adapt fast or you adapt slow, you will have to adapt. And so I think I've just been enjoying. I enjoy a certain amount of chaos. To be honest, being a touring musician is a very chaotic life. And you're always traveling. You know, you're always moving. Your world always feels like a hurricane. And this just feels like more of a hurricane now while I'm at home, which is normally so peaceful. So yeah, maybe I've been faring okay through it all. But yeah, there's no denying this is going to have huge implications for the music business, for anyone involved in the creative arts and field. Everyone is suffering. There will be no money. It's going to be scarce for a long time. I don't know how it's all going to come back. No. And I implore anyone listening who loves those artists and listens to our music is just to, where you can, support us, where you can, do those live shows. But I, you know, at the same time, I believe that out of this, there's going to be a renaissance of art, you know. I think for all the people that are struggling through it, we're going to see new artists coming on the scene, people who've been inspired by this and had to change career and finally, just like that happened to me. I did a whole business degree. That's the way I thought my life was going. And I eventually had a hurricane and did a 180 and decided to go to do music. I think there'll be a lot of people out there right now doing just that.
What was the hurricane, if you don't mind? I mean, you've raised it. What was the thing that changed your life? What got you to go from doing your business degree to being an artist? And thank goodness you got the business degree, by the way, or you at least began it, because it's given you a good head in your shoulders.
Yeah, I will never say a bad thing about those 4 years at university. It was it's been the cornerstone of my whole career, and I'm always imploring artists that I meet to take that business side as seriously as they can. And I mean, for me, I just, why did I change? It was because I didn't enjoy university. I didn't enjoy the idea of going into a life of you know, junior asset management was the job. You know, I did a property development and finance degree. So it just was, I had this cognitive dissonance that was growing from the moment I started that degree. And I also had to travel far. You know, I traveled all the way from Cormac every day. And I had a lot of time in my car. And I used to play harmonica. I learned to beatbox in the car. And I just, I fell in love with music in these organic ways because, and then I would go to this degree, which was so out of line with my normal strengths, you know. But it felt, because I suppose the truth is I was afraid, you know. I was a young man in South Africa, and I felt like if I'm going to have a future, I have to try and my best to do in a degree that counts, you know. But that counts, you know, eventually led me to realizing it wasn't what I wanted to do, and I did that 180 the moment I got my degree. I think I stubbornly stuck around. I even stubbornly did my honors. And the day I finished, I hung it up and said, it's time to make some music.
And that music is The Business of Jeremy Loops. More with him in just a moment. He's a singer, a songwriter, and a guy with a head in his shoulders. And the world has dried up for artists. It really has. But he's not taking this one lying down. Thinking differently about the world of being an artist in times where artists are struggling to be artists in the way that they are used to.
The Money Show. Make Money Mondays.
So he endured a four-year business degree, taught himself to beatbox in his car while driving from Komiki to university on a daily basis, hated most of what he was doing, and on the day he graduated, pivoted, because that's what you do, into music. And it's a degree that is holding him in good stead. It has taught him the business principles that he requires in order to keep his head above water in probably the most difficult time that artists have had, certainly in our lifetimes. His name this evening, our Make Money Mondays special edition guest, is Jeremy Loop, singer and songwriter. Did you go into this crisis with a bit of a buffer, with a bit of a cushion, Jeremy? Did your business management training at least teach you that, to not go and spend it all at once? What did George Best say? Spent all my money on women, cars and drugs and drink or something, and the rest I just squandered. Are you that kind of rock star?
Yeah, no, I mean, I suppose predictably I'm on this money show because I'm not that type of rock star. No, I'm always pretty studious about that. I definitely had a buffer going in, and I take that pretty seriously anyways in my business, because I've been trying to break as an artist. You know, we're in the business of trying to take our music to the world so that we can have a global career, because when you have just a South African career, the business almost doesn't make enough sense to keep what becomes a whole band and a whole infrastructure going. If you want it to be a career, if you want to be a flash in the pan and have music, you know, just be something you can do for a while, then you can follow it down. But at some stage, if you want to think long term, you have to think global and being able to step outside the country and do tours elsewhere. But to do that, you have to think of all the very big expenses that come with that. And so you almost have to have a buffer if you even want to try the international thing. And so that has definitely served me well in these times. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do as the year progresses. The hope is that things start to open up again, or that some sort of live shows can become possible again. Because
that's the thing. And there's also,
it will be a different story.
As you're making it and as you're finally cracking new markets and everything shuts down, you've got to stay relevant and you've got to stay front of mind, I suppose. It's easy enough if you're Queen. You've had four decades. But, I mean, as a relatively young artist, it's a really tough thing to keep a presence.
I think I don't want to say it can't be any tougher, but I think this has been a very difficult blow for all business. So I don't want to say that we've been hit the hardest, because we haven't, but it is, we're definitely up there. And I think the whole entertainment business is just going to be so rocked from this. But at the same time, you know, when at some point when this is over, I think people are going to still want to come and be with each other, you know. I really hope we don't lose that. I hope people don't get too comfortable staying indoors, and that the whole culture of like going out and being with your friends and going to music and supporting the arts, you know, that's my big fear. My fear isn't short term and how it's affecting me. It's like, can this possibly take us maybe in a positive direction? And I just hope it doesn't take us in a direction that sucks for all of us.
No, exactly. Who's let your dogs out? There's a song in that somewhere. I should write it down. I've got some lyrics. They've just come to me. Jeremy, very quickly. I mean, do you have bad money habits? I mean, do you do bad things on tour that you wouldn't tell your granny about? I mean, what happened? You know, are you any good with the way in which you behave with your money?
Yeah, my gran. It's nice that you mentioned my gran again. I mean, she was a huge fan of the Money Show. And she would be probably a little bit disturbed to find out that I go to like steam baths and saunas quite often on tour. Actually, pretty much every new city we go. And when you're on tour, you're normally in a new city every day, if not every 2 days. But I do it for practical reasons because my voice, as you can hear, I've got quite a raspy, husky voice in general. And so I find it very soothing for my throat to have
you keep telling people that, Jeremy, and they will believe you.
Well,
I believe you.
That's why it's a guilty pleasure, because on the one hand I enjoy it, it relaxes me before the show. On the other hand, it's also very good for me. But those steam rooms and saunas, those bills rack up when you're overseas on tour every night. So I look at it as a cost of sale because it keeps my voice healthy, which is the show, but it is also quite glorious and luxurious and naughty sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no reason why you shouldn't. Do you like money? Do you like knowing that it's there, that you've got this cushion to fall back on, that you've got your asset management degree, your business degree, that if things did go pear-shaped from a music perspective, if the voice rasped itself out, that you've got a backstop?
I think it's far too far for me to look back and think that my degree might find me any sort of new income. But I've always had a really healthy relationship with money in that sense. I took it seriously. I've had these kind of dreams musically and creatively for a long time. And I suppose when you don't want to see your dreams die, you kind of know that the business side's important. So I've always been kind of careful on those frontiers. And I am happy that I chose that role. I think, my gran played a big role in helping me have that headspace towards money and just taking it a bit more seriously. Because I've also seen so many people suffer. I mean, money makes people, if you don't have it, your life can be very complicated if you don't take care of it,
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lots of people are feeling that really hard right now. When's the album out? Do you have a release date, or are you being a bit like James Bond at the moment?
No, I'm not being James Bond at all. The honest truth is that because of Corona, most artists don't know what or when and how to release the albums. I mean, I was supposed to release it just after the summer. So after the summer touring overseas, so June, July, August, September, then I'd come home and launch it and start touring here for the summer. But there's no way we could do that now. I think it would make no sense. There's no point in dropping an album when you can't go and support it. So I think most artists will be like what I plan to do is just release songs off the album and just push the album release out to when I can finally hit the streets and go and tour again.
We look forward to it. Jeremy Loops, thank you very much for joining us this evening. The musician, songwriter, performer, global performer, Jeremy Loops, this evening on The Money Show.